Hello and welcome to the 73rd Planet Destiny podcast, sponsored by Blue Microphones and Headphones. And today, the theme of the podcast is June 9th, because that's the day that we'll actually know about new stuff and can talk about it.
The date of the day, June 9th. When everybody says June 9th, everybody screams.
So the Bungie weekly update, or the This Week at Bungie went out. And basically, the first thing was, "Hey, tune in next week. You're gonna see some stuff." And so now we wait.
If you noticed on that article, the little header of that article, there was Guardians wearing Iron Banner gear.
Three of them. Looking at the trailer.
Three of them. There's always three Guardians. When is there not three Guardians in the header picture?
But they're wearing Iron Banner gear.
Oh,
and they're talking
I see.
About what's gonna be revealed on the June 9th stream, which makes me think Rise of Iron, because they're wearing Iron Banner gear.
Bungie is going to confirm Kotaku. That's what they're going to be like. Kotaku, 10 out of 10.
You know those guys at Kotaku? They killed it.
They knew it. Amazing. They knew it. Congratulations. Here's what I think also. I think that they're moving away from E3 and giant press circuits like that and moving towards Twitch. Because, you know, like when there's new information, they get 100,000 plus people watching for the new expansion information. And that is way more people in a room than E3 can possibly support for one experience. You know, so, and also E3 has all this other stuff going on, so the information gets buried. So it makes more sense that Bungie's like, "Hey, we're big enough now. Everybody knows Destiny. We can do our own live streams, get the information out there, and then have maybe, I think somebody said on Twitter, like maybe there's like some hands-on stuff that happens at E3 for some select press people."
Yeah. Nintendo started doing this a few years ago with the Treehouse and their live streaming events. Instead of doing these big press conferences at E3, they said, "That's a lot of money. We could be just as effective, get our message out there by going direct to the consumer." And I think you hear a lot of stories about companies pulling out of E3.
I think it's super smart. Like, they have such a big audience on Twitch. Everyone knows about them now. They don't have to fly out their entire people that are going.
They're partnered now as well.
They're partnered with
Made it. They've made it.
They have a foundation, guys.
They can get put on that front page. Know that they're in there with Twitch for that live stream. So it just makes sense. It's right there in everyone's living room. A lot of the time people don't know when to tune in for Destiny stuff. Like, if it's at PlayStation, they have to watch the entire PlayStation. And not many people want to do that. But right here, it's like, okay, this is the day. Nothing else is happening. You guys can tune into Twitch. You will find out all of the information you need to find out. So I think it's smart. It definitely surprised me. I kind of expected for them to maybe tease it a little bit and then announce it at E3.
In This Week at Bungie, they say this will be your first glimpse at what awaits you later this year. And then followed by a deeper dive with the development team. So hopefully we're actually going to see some of the nuts and bolts here, too.
I am looking forward to it, if we are.
How much information do you really think they're going to reveal, though? Like, we're 3 months away.
Enough for everyone to get kind of hyped about it, and then probably see a little bit more at E3, probably see, you know, actual gameplay from, you know, press and everything.
I expect a trailer. I expect to, you know, get introduced to the main antagonist, where we're going to be fighting, possibly see what the next patrol area will be, stuff like that. That'll be exciting stuff.
I hope there's another patrol area. I really do.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. That'd be nice.
Like European Dead Zone or something. Like, come on. Yeah. That would be so awesome to have. Also, give us the Sparrows. I want to ride around in my Sparrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. European Dead Zone, Chicago, I've heard thrown around a little bit. An expansion to the Cosmodrome.
All of those were like areas that in the development of Destiny, they were supposed to, like,
right. If you have the Destiny art book from like way back when, all of those areas have images associated. Who knows how much of it was developed, or if it was just, you know, for future Destiny. Mm-hmm. It looks exciting, though. You know, like I mean, I've been hyped up ever since we saw that leaked poster.
You know, it's funny. Like, they gave us the poster, then like a week later, suddenly we have a date. You know, the date wasn't on the poster or anything like that.
Nope,
man.
It's funny how that lines up. You know,
some guerrilla marketing from Activision.
That's
right. They're just like, you know what? We're gonna make an account on Reddit and then post a picture, and then we're gonna delete the account, and then it'll be like, oh, this guy trying to hide his tracks, but really it's just some guy at Activision going, hey, can we We should start doing the marketing thing for the next Destiny thing, right? Ah, shit. Yeah, we should.
And they just, how much is it going to cost? Nothing. That's the best.
Nothing. Nothing.
It's some chief marketing officer.
Let me just selfie this right here. Okay, yeah. We're good.
Hand me your phone. Give me an intern's phone. Stat.
It's unfortunate that person got fired from that marketing. Yeah,
smear some Vaseline on the lens, too, so it doesn't look too crisp.
You got to break some eggs to make an omelet. You know what I mean?
Oh, my gosh. It's great. You know, a lot of people think, or there's a lot of rumors going around that we're going to get teased Destiny 2 at E3. I personally don't think it's going to happen because I don't think Bungie's even going to consider sharing anything remotely related to Destiny 2 until this version of Destiny has completely run its course.
Yeah, I think this time next year we can start thinking about Destiny.
Exactly. 2. Yeah, we still have another year to wait.
We don't know when in 2017. My guess is we'll probably see. Probably September 2017.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of been the time.
And then
we'll
see
stuff,
live events.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe whatever this other expansion I think is
supposed to be. I hope it's not just live events all the way through year three.
I'm in the same boat with you there, Briar.
I really hope they have some DLC planned for
At the very least, I hope they rework the Arms Day gunsmith thing. Because another year of going, okay, here's the JLB 47 and 42 rocket launcher for next week that you can buy. They're going to be shit. And, okay.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think they'll give us something, whether it's just shaking up the current world that we have, like the April update kind of did, or adding a DLC or whatever. I think there has to be something. It's not just going to be various different live events.
If it's hey, this is an event that will be reoccurring during year three and not just once every 4 months reoccurring, more like once every month, similar to Iron Banner, then hell yes.
Yeah.
Please.
Like if SRL came around once a month or once every 2 months, you know, if Iron Banner stays in the rotation, we got Trials of Osiris, there'd be this kind of constantly changing stuff to do in Destiny. If they could add more stuff like that, that'd be awesome. But I still want DLC. Not good enough. Still want DLC.
Still want DLC, absolutely. If they had a PvE event, had the Heroic Strike suddenly get crazy modifiers, every minute the burn changed during a strike, you know, that would be interesting. It would bring people back. Also, there was specific rewards that you can only get during those live events. They have so much possibilities there.
They have so many.
I hope that's something they're thinking about for Destiny 2, is how to keep PvE fresh. You know, it's some way to kind of infuse freshness into PvE on a regular basis. I think the Nightfalls did it in year one. I don't think they're doing it in year two. I think they ruined the Nightfalls somewhat in year two.
They could definitely do some stuff to the Nightfalls to make it more interesting, kind of like what they did with, honestly, with Prison of Elders, where there's you earned this many points during the Nightfall, or you have some goal to work towards during the Nightfall aside from just kill the end boss, then we could see some I think the Nightfall would be much more replayable than it currently is, but
no cumulative score though. I don't like the cumulative
score.
Run through it three times is just boring. I don't mind getting doing the one run through and trying to maximize your score, but just trying to do it three times, no thank you.
Well, the whole making PvE replayable is something that game developers have struggled with forever, because no matter how many times, or people are only going to run things so many times, they're going to get the loot that they want and they're done. Or sometimes it's the equivalent of hitting a checkbox of, okay, I've done this activity, we're done. Making people want to come back. WoW has tried basically everything in the book. They've invented the book on it for the most part, and
I don't know, I thought they did a great job in Halo. I mean, I played the Halo campaigns over and over again on increasingly harder difficulties, and I thought they did a great job. They had the skull modifier so you could change it on the fly, up to you, you know, stuff like that really adds to the replayability, and that stuff's in their mental bank, and I don't understand why they're not taking advantage of it.
I think they tried with the whole making the strike taken, it can have different enemies whenever you spawn in, but it doesn't add enough to make you want to be yeah, I want to go play that strike.
Usually, it's more of an annoyance. It's like, God damn it, the Takener.
Taken R
is kind of a pain in the ass to fight.
Takener paid.
It's because they're lag switching.
I swear to God.
Lag switching enemies.
I like how the higher light level activity that you get with Taken, the more that they teleport erratically. Mm-hmm. And
so annoying. Yeah. Those vandals can go away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, Scions. Scions need to just
Captains
die.
Captains are pretty annoying.
Mm-hmm.
The vandals pop their bubble and they shoot you from a distance. That
those
is
are
annoying.
Right as
teleport.
You're about to take your shot with your sniper rifle, too. Boop, the bubble's
always
up.
It's right when you
guys like invulnerable.
I've run that the Black Spindle mission so many times that I feel like I understand how the AI of those vandals works. And it's you can look at them all day, but the second you scope in with a sniper rifle, the game registers. Oh, he's scoping in. No, bubble.
Bubble.
I'm sure that is what. That's how they're coded because
I'm
who's the bubble
sure,
bro
I'm
now?
Sure you're right with that. They react to like power weapons. Like if you're using a sniper, they're more likely to do certain behavior.
Mm-hmm. It's the equivalent of like using Odd Job in GoldenEye 64. It's just cheating. It's bullshit.
They got to do some stuff for PvE. They got to make things somehow figure out a way to make a weekly or monthly PvE event that's refreshing, bring people back. I think the April update was a step in the right direction, bringing back Prison Elders and having this, this content repositioned and rethought, which was great. But it's been a month, already kind of done with it, and they need to bring something there. The thing about the Nightfalls from year one, I think somebody mentioned in chat also, is that the rep bonus was there. So if you hadn't done the Nightfall yet for that week, you're thinking, oh, I don't want to turn in these bounties because I'm not getting my rep
bonus. Oh, that rep bonus, gotcha.
The weekly, where you had the thing around your head that made you look like you had done the Nightfall? That was cool, and it was also difficult because you got kicked to orbit.
Yeah, it added stress to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of liked that.
They're casual. It's a casual Nightfall now, where it's like, well, you die, okay, whatever, you respawn here.
Right. It's no biggie. So, anybody else want to talk about June 9th some more?
June 9th. Is a Bungie stream.
June 9th. I hear there's something big happening June 9th. That's sure, though.
At 10 a.m., usually they start at 11.
I'll be
1 p.m. Eastern.
I hear
10 a.m. Pacific. I'll be sleeping.
I hear that 9 is an important number because 6 is afraid of 7 because 7, 8, 9.
All right. Did you guys hear about this new Xbox rumor?
Fine.
I bought it. yes, the Scorpio?
Yes. All right, what? So there's two new Xbox rumors, right? There's one Slim that's probably coming out this year. We'll probably hear about it at E3. And there's one that's rumored to come out in 2017. It's basically going to be a brand new Xbox. So,
the way I heard it, and I could be wrong, but I thought it was that it's like the Neo, what they're doing.
No, so the Neo is 1.5, right? It's very much PlayStation 1.5, PlayStation 4.5. Mm-hmm. Where it's an upgraded version of what we already have. The Scorpio, from what I'm hearing, is got four times the power of the current Xbox. It may be able to run current Xbox One games, but it is a new box, and it's four times more powerful. So here's what I find interesting. Here's why I think we can talk about it a little bit on a Destiny podcast. Is we're expecting Destiny 2 in September of 2017, right? That's going to be a world where the PlayStation 4.5 is out and is the current PlayStation, right? That's the current gen PlayStation. And Microsoft likes to release their consoles in November, which is right behind the release of Destiny. If they have a console that's four times more powerful than the current Xbox One, which is roughly equivalent to a PlayStation, what kind of world is Destiny 2 then released in? Is it going to be released into a world where it's like it's running on last gen hardware? Right?
Well,
it's going to be running on the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One, right? It's been developed for years for these two consoles, the current consoles that we have. I bet maybe they can skew a little bit for the 4.5, but for something that's four times more powerful than the Xbox One, I don't see them developing for that.
Like, supposedly, the PS 4.5 is going to be twice as powerful, or 2.3 times more powerful than a PS4, and the Scorpio is going to be three times powerful than a PS4. I don't think they're going to take that extra, 60% of whatever power that is and make the Xbox that much better graphically, because I think that would also be a nightmare to manage. So I think they're going to create parity for, like, for current gen or new current gen, old current gen, and obviously last gen has dropped completely. So I don't think the graphic fidelity is going to change, but I also think that Microsoft is aware of this, and I don't think that they're going to try to maintain a November release schedule either. I think they're going to try to push this thing out when it's hot.
It's going to be a hard year for Microsoft if they do wait till November, because they're... Let's assume that everybody knows the Scorpio is coming, right? Who's mm-hmm. going to be buying a play or an Xbox One at this point?
Or a PS4.
They just did a price drop to $300. Yeah, but the PS4 has the 4.5 coming out this holiday season. So, you know, even if they stop selling PlayStations now, it's much less of a time for no PlayStations to get sold.
Right.
Right? But if we're talking a full year for the Xbox 2, you know, that's a long time for Microsoft to go without selling any new Xboxes.
I heard a rumor also that Microsoft is thinking about this and maybe accelerating their timeline because of the Neo coming out. So maybe the news was that it was 2017 November, but then Sony jumped the ball and said, well, we're actually going to release in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think Microsoft is thinking about this and thinking.
So okay, I heard the rumor in reverse is that the reason PlayStation 4.5 is getting announced or is getting released this year is because they've heard the Xbox One is coming out next year, or Xbox One point, whatever. So it's like, it's, you know, that's all rumor. But what we, you know, what we think we know is that there is a Scorpio coming out next year. Destiny is getting released at a point where there's going to be current gen consoles that are newer than the development of Destiny. And I find that interesting for the future of Destiny.
Well, I mean, it's fantastic either way around. The better hardware, the game is going to be legitimately better as Destiny 2. Like, it's not going to have, at least I hope, it's not going to have 30 frames per second. It seems like 60 FPS.
It should definitely be 60.
Right?
It would be super weird for them to do 30 for Destiny 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be heartbreaking. Because you look at Overwatch. Overwatch is amazing with 60, so...
Yeah, but Overwatch has got a lot less going on.
Yeah. But it was designed with that in mind, you know?
Yeah. Microsoft has been out there, you know, recently discussing the prospect of doing like a 0.5 console upgrade with the Xbox and saying they're not interested in doing something like that. If they're going to do a new piece of hardware, they want it to be a new piece of hardware. And they've talked a lot about doing something modular where over the timeline of this console's, or over the course of this console's life cycle, you could possibly, you know, switch out components, which would be really interesting for an Xbox.
Almost like a personal computer.
Almost like Whoa. That, except there's no Whoa. Fucking DLLs or registries that constantly fuck you over.
Drivers? You don't like installing drivers?
Holy shit, that one time I get a notification that says, hey, your drivers are updated. I'm like, oh shit, cool.
Don't you want to update this computer by force while you're live streaming? You don't. Oh,
let's be honest. Oh, yeah. Let's be honest. We've all seen some awful drivers from NVIDIA before that have like ruined our computers. At least I have.
Yep, so, I've seen it.
It is a pain in the ass. Either way, new hardware and Destiny 2 aligning with new hardware is very exciting.
I hope that Destiny 2 takes advantage of the new hardware. I kind of doubt it will.
I think that's why it was postponed. Seriously, I think that's why they were like, oh, we're not going to release in 2016 when new hardware's coming out. We can flip, you know, like, or we can have higher resolution texture maps and all this stuff and better looking game by, you know, by another year.
So, you know, we had a conversation when Pope Bear was still on the podcast about, you know, he was saying there's every indication to think that Destiny is on the right track to be the game that we all want it to be. And I just still see no evidence of that, right? It's like I see zero evidence that that Bungie is making Destiny 2 like the game we want it to be. The only evidence we've seen is that The Taken King was awesome, but we're not getting new content for an entire year after The Taken King. So obviously development is very difficult still.
Well, I mean, they're not going to start revealing stuff about Destiny 2 until they're, you know, damn well ready to.
Right. Either. No, so. I agree. But you know.
Well, like, I also think that, like, all their, or the majority of the resources are put towards Destiny 2 and the future mm-hmm. of Destiny 2. You know, because just because they're developed, like, I wouldn't be surprised if Destiny 2 is pretty much complete. They're now fine-tuning and optimizing everything, and now working on additional expansions for Destiny 2 as we speak, right now. I honestly wouldn't be surprised. Because that it takes a lot of time to develop a AAA shooter. Like, the amount of assets that have to be developed.
Just download Unreal 4 Engine, and then, like, you just fucking make some new textures. You're done. There you go.
Just become an indie developer. It's so
dude,
easy.
I have
look,
Unreal 4.
Look at No Man's 4. Sky. Look at No Man's Sky.
Yeah,
so
look
easy,
at No Man's
right?
Sky. It's co-op by, like, four people, and you can just travel the universe. Everything's randomly generated. There's a whole universe. Eight guys made it. There you go. And then it's delayed for, like, 20 years.
Yeah, it's not coming out.
Another delay. Another delay.
Another delay and another delay.
It's hot as balls outside. Why isn't this released yet?
Well, do you think we'll get a beta for Destiny 2 at E3 next year? Do you think they'll do the same kind of thing they did for the original Destiny?
That's a good question.
That's a good question.
Like, the joke is, this is the beta.
We're still playing the beta
for Destiny 2.
We're still playing the beta. Well, on the flip side, I could see there being a beta out, because look at all the games right now that have had betas, and they use the betas as kind of, you know, a marketing tool.
They're demos. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest.
Yeah,
they're demos.
They're demos. Like, Destiny did it, Overwatch, Battleborn. I mean, truthfully, they could just not do a beta and then just put out a list of, here's what Destiny 2 has in it.
And nothing sells video games like feature lists.
Yeah, like, they could just do a live stream, and it's 2 hours of just scrolling, slowly
scrolling.
They could
even do it in a nice Excel spreadsheet and really, do it up nice.
Really,
here's the exact number of strikes.
Oh, my God.
Here's the number of variations you can have in strikes.
Maybe they can have the list, like, scroll up the screen like the Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect.
Yeah.
Gets me excited.
But
hope they do that at E3.
Yeah.
List. A really epic list.
There's no dedicated servers on the list. Oh, my God.
And no, and at the very bottom, this list is hosted on a dedicated server, as will the whole game be. Yay.
Right?
Does anybody want to take any wild shots, last-minute shots at speculation to what we're going to hear tomorrow or next week? Sorry. Any wild shots?
Destiny and Game of Thrones will now have a crossover, as is the Rise of Iron. And we're going to make an assault and take back the Iron Throne. Rightfully.
Hold the door!
Hold the door!
It's too soon. It's too soon.
Too soon.
Too soon.
That's amazing. I would love that.
Yeah. And it could be like Rise of Iron means we're having a forge mode for the iron, because you forge stuff with too much of a stretch.
When you said forge, I'm thinking actual forge mode, like in Halo.
Yeah.
Not making weapons.
I would... crafting mode. Boom. There you go. Crafting in Destiny. We go into the world. We collect resources. We craft stuff.
We already have crafting. It's called dismantling the stuff you get from Sterling Treasures to get Chromas. It's crafting. There you go.
It's not crafting, Patrick. It's not crafting.
And then you use those things to make your armor glow. There you go.
It's like crafting. When you sell lemonade as a kid and you think you have a business.
So when homemade lemonade on it and it's just mix poured into a pitcher.
Yeah. That's just a project.
My lemonade stand took credit cards. Thank you very much.
What?
Yeah. I had a little one of those, are you telling me
you just recently did a lemonade stand?
No, like old school, like, and not just like the normal swipe credit cards, like the clunk clunk thing with the credit card.
How much fucking were you charging for lemonade?
Yeah.
It's like a 50-cent fee to do that.
You know, my dad just said he'll take care of it, and I'm assuming he never actually charged
cards. He definitely didn't. He would have paid more for the credit card processing fees than he would have paid for the lemonade.
It was some good lemonade, man.
It was the top shelf frozen Minute Maid stuff, you know?
I never had a lemonade business.
You sorely missed out on life. You should just go do one. Nah, you're an adult now, so then like you get fined and shit. It's cute when kids do it, and then it's just tax evasion.
I could potentially make myself look
tax evasion.
Good work. I had to experience the thrill of owning my own lemonade
business. You get one of those square things for your phone. You know, you think, like, oh, there we go. Just charged it. Mm-hmm. Square.
Sell it on your screen. Square thing for you. Know? Like every subscriber gets a glass of lemonade.
Yeah, it's so convenient nowadays. If you go to, a hip coffee shop, they always got, like, you know, they make you slide the card on the iPad and they flip it around and be like, sign it right here. And it butchers your signature every single time. But, you know, you feel like you're at a hip coffee shop because of that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The hippest coffee shops only take cash now.
That's true.
They charge you $8 for a coffee, but they only take cash.
Yeah. And they're in a garage because they microbrew.
Right.
Micro roast.
They grow. No, I'm not even gonna say it.
You guys are joking about the square thing at a lemonade stand, but seriously, some kids in the neighborhood did do that.
I'm not surprised. Dude, lemons ain't free.
No, you got to make that money back.
Oh my god, what if like I did like do that and like make each cup of lemonades $5 and then it just automatically adds a new Twitch sub. Twitch.
That's what we need.
There we go.
It right there.
There we go.
You have local subs.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah.
There we go.
Farm to table subs.
Farm to table. Oh my gosh. That's great. What were we talking about?
I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
June 9th.
It doesn't matter.
June
9th? June 9th.
That's what we're talking about. Yeah. June 9th. Oh, last speculations as to what they're going to talk about.
Oh, yeah. I think
they're going to confirm everything that Kotaku said. Debt to a team.
Uh-huh. Yeah. History would stand. History would back that one up.
I wonder if they will drop anything big on the stream. I think it would be cool if they did, because then the community would just explode. But I don't know how much Bungie wants to give away.
If they dropped custom games...
Just shut up and take my money.
Yeah.
The internet will explode. It'll be over. Yeah.
Like, I don't see Forge mode happening. I'd like to see it in Destiny 2.
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
I don't see 60 frames happening. Yeah. I'd like to see it in Destiny 2.
Like major architecture, you know, netcode, all that stuff, that's getting reworked for a new platform that's Destiny 2 on hardware that's advanced and dropping last gen and all that stuff. That's what I think is going to happen.
Can you just go ahead and say net code so I can take a drink?
I just said it. I said
you said hardware. Whatever.
I said hardware and net code.
Okay, I wasn't listening.
Maybe Skype cut out. Because, my God, I still enjoy playing Destiny. I still enjoy streaming it and all that. But pretty much every time I stream PvP, there's somebody who is doing... It's just amazing. Floating around, Super Saiyan... Usually on the top of leaderboard too. It's just coincidentally.
I wanted to make a video on this, but I just don't think that it would like there's no purpose to making a video on it because like things
sort of like package opening.
Yeah, exactly. no, like I wanted to do a video of, like
what's in the box?
Why I've stopped doing PvP or why I've stopped playing PvP, but it would just be me saying things that people have been saying for the past 3 fucking months of. I'm tired of joining games that only have, you know, 4 people on my team, 5 people on the other team, and then maybe the game fills out, or maybe my team actually gets another player added. Just like that kind of annoying stuff that's been said, over and over and over again for the past 3 months, and it wouldn't do anything else right now. So maybe I'll make that video if, you know, some new update comes out and I still have those problems. But right now it's, you know, you're beating a dead horse at this point.
Well, the thing is you have Overwatch, and obviously Overwatch is entertaining for you. For me, Overwatch is, it's a fun game, but I don't find myself waking up being like, when am I playing Overwatch? Mm-hmm. You know?
It doesn't have that same draw that Destiny brings.
Yeah, it's not under my skin or anything like that. I still enjoy just the basic experience of Destiny. I come back to playing Blade Dancer now, and just Last Word is a fun weapon, even though it's inconsistent.
Yeah.
And there's always somebody in my stream that says, "Why are you aiming down sights?" or "Why aren't you hip firing?" Like every 5 minutes, somebody will ask that question, which is funny. But I still enjoy it. I still enjoy the basic experience.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to follow up with, like, the Overwatch thing. If I did think about Overwatch all the time, then I would be having a very difficult time thinking, oh, am I going to play Destiny PvP right now? So,
I actually had more fun today playing Destiny than I've had in months because I was working on the exotic sword quest, and I got to the point where you had to get 25 kills with a sword in the Crucible. And I was playing on stream, and chat told me that you could actually do that with the hilt. You don't actually have to have heavy ammo. So I spent the next hour or so running around in the Crucible just trying to get kills with the hilt and having a blast, frankly, with a very low KD.
And that's what custom games would bring for
yeah,
us, right?
Absolutely.
Like, we could just have everyone in a match, like, let's only use our sword hilts. And I think that would bring a lot of longevity to Destiny in general, because you could just make up your own rules with things.
Yeah.
And I think that would be awesome. There's so much you can do in custom games that would be hilarious.
Yeah, I'm seeing some of that stuff happen in Overwatch already. Like, people setting rules where everybody uses Roadhog, they stand in a circle around a pit, and the whole game is to just pull other people into the pit and be the last person standing. You know, like, that kind of stuff could be happening in Destiny, but we don't have the custom games to make it happen.
Yeah.
Or you could play 12 hours of Zenyatta. That's my current, I think that's my current playtime on him. And still not get a play of the game. Because that you wonder why I've been playing Overwatch so much? It's because I've been trying to, you know, chase that dragon.
Maybe you need to get good. I don't
know. I'm ranked 150 in the world on Zenyatta.
Maybe you gotta get under that.
Okay, get more good. I need to get fucking number one. Then I'll get a Zenyatta.
That just means not very many people play them.
We do need to talk about your package openings, because you get good packages and you don't get happy, and it makes me really sad.
That's the point. It's just
no. You're supposed to overreact.
There's a couple of questions about that in the Twitter questions.
Yeah. For those of you that don't know, as a joke, and then it turned into
a
serious
strategy
thing.
To grow his channel.
Yes, mm-hmm. It turned into something serious when I actually spent time on it. But I decided, you know what? I want to buy some loot boxes because I want to get some skins, get some currency, whatever. I'll buy 50 of them, and there's the loot. All right, be sure to like, comment, subscribe, and I'll see you tomorrow for another loot box opening video. And there you go. Like, that's every single video. I rarely comment on the loot. And there's 50 of them. I think we're at number 8 right now. So we're just gonna keep going.
That's
and
hilarious.
It goes until, I think, like July 12th is when the final one will be. I thought it was kind of funny doing them, so I did one for Sterling Treasures as well, where I opened one Sterling Treasure over the course of 3 videos. I've had requests to do some cereal box unopenings
nice.
As well. You know, so we'll see if we can do that.
Just expand your channel into like
the funny thing is,
Loot Crate on the phone.
Loot Crate,
you know?
Yeah, there we go. The funny thing is, it started as a joke and then it legitimately grew my channel. Like
well, there's a reason people make those videos.
I know,
right?
It legitimately grew my channel, and
dude, loot videos
like,
are
oh,
real. So.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm actually earning like a dollar or so for each video. All right. Yeah. Well, before we do talk about Twitter questions,
we're playing Quidditch.
Quidditch today.
The Quidditch.
So we should talk about Blue, because no doubt you've noticed these wild mics and headphones that we are using. And they're just some of the iconic gear that Blue creates. Blue's award-winning products are the driving force behind professional musicians, internet creators, and countless elite gaming teams and Twitch streamers. Their Yeti USB mic is the internet's most popular microphone, and their MoFi and Lola headphones deliver insane sound and a very personalized fit. Blue offers everything you need to completely immerse yourself in the ultimate gameplay experience. Learn more about Blue at bluemic.com. Well, I hear you giggling. Why are you giggling?
We got these microphones coming out of our asses over here.
Yeah,
I don't have Skype pulled up.
It's open.
I'd move mine into the frame, but I can't on that one.
They were nice enough to give us all ones to give away. And so those things are spreading all throughout the community now.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Which is really nice. And I got to tell you, the quality of my streams has gone up now that other people have Blue Yeti microphones attached.
I know, right? It's like, oh, people have an actual good quality mic.
Yeah.
Through the PlayStation mic. Yeah. I'm sure that sounded lovely.
At Danny Bates, we have things we love and a good future. What are any fears you have with Destiny 2?
That it will suck. Mm.
30 FPS, no dedicated servers, and it's going to suck, just like Pat said.
Sparrow Racing League 2.0, entire new Destiny IP is actually Sparrow Racing.
With one extra map.
One new map.
Yep.
And it's Cabal, so they knock you off your Sparrow with their shields.
I really hope that it's a refresh. Like, everything is just refreshed.
Just starting in. Like, you have your character, but everything's new. Yeah. That would be good.
Exactly.
Because we all like that feeling of working towards something and having a lot to work towards. And when you already have so much, it's, you know, it's nice getting new stuff, but people can prepare for it and ruin it.
If you still have your character and you're just working for, like, oh, what's the point aside from just, like, having your character look the same that they've looked since you first started it?
I would guess that people would be kind of angry / upset if they had to, like, just
make a new character.
Yeah.
Okay.
So maybe that would be the only reason. I mean, it doesn't really change.
Do you really feel
it
any attachment to these characters?
I do.
Yeah.
Like, they don't have voices.
Do
they don't have personalities.
Sure.
They hardly ever speak.
Well, I've made two hunters before, and my second hunter, I just didn't feel like my hunter. It's just kind of
wasn't your first
character. Whereas my first hunter was like, that's my hunter.
You always remember your first hunter.
Always.
Yeah, so it's weird. Right? It's weird. They don't have like any lines. They don't necessarily have personality, but they definitely felt different.
If we had to name our characters, like in Dark Souls, like I have attachments over the characters because it's Sir Tefty that's in Dark Souls 1 and 3. And I'm like, that's my character. That's my main right there. I have more of an attachment to that from the name. And it is kind of weird that we didn't get to name our characters. I mean, I get it from the point of view of being in the tower and then having interaction like Cade. I think Cade references us somehow. Says, oh, it's always Guardian. Never mind. It would work. It would totally work because he could just say Guardian all the time. So, yeah, if we had to name it, it would be there'd be more sentiment. But the main thing is if they do bring over more than just your character, how is that going to work in a new system and still keep it fresh? Because I do not want to be like...
space fantasy. They can do whatever they want. You know, they can reset your stats however they want.
Okay, then picture this.
You know, they do it in every game. Metroid, every Metroid has had a complete reset. So, you know, why can't they do it in Destiny? Or they can just make the new gear so fucking phenomenally more powerful that the old gear is, you know...
Well, there's that, you know, but then again, you go in Crucible and everything's leveled out, so the, you know, and then again thorns are back and all this stuff. Like what I'm saying is, how can they bring forward stuff that we've earned in Destiny 1 into Destiny 2 and still make it feel like we're earning the new meta?
It's a new game. I don't want to bring my old stuff for Destiny 2. I want to start earning brand new stuff.
I don't feel like they're gonna let us. Because it's too much in terms of like, okay, well, now we're making this new world. We have to balance it with this old stuff. And I think it would make a lot more sense if they're like, yeah, okay, you keep your character, your hunter, your warlock, your titan, whatever. But all of your stuff is gone.
Yeah.
You're starting fresh.
And if you want to create a new one, you can customize it even further. And there's a beard shop.
We want beard shops. Absolutely. Gotta be a beard shop. I think I know. Like, if... maybe they have an area in the tower where you go to and you can visit relics of the past, and it's all of your year one stuff. I mean, it's all of Destiny 1's stuff from your inventory in the database is listed out there somehow, positioned in
that'd
way,
be cool.
Weapons, you know, so you could actually see stuff from things that you did in the past.
And your grimoire will move forward, so hopefully there's some enhanced use for the grimoire in Destiny 2.
Maybe that's what it is. Your grimoire moving forward with it, and they actually gave an in-game thing that made sense and was more intuitive. Or
maybe it will have like houses or apartments, and you can have all your exotics from Destiny 1 kind of hanging there.
I just want to play The Sims in Destiny. It's all I want.
The Sims Destiny
it's
version.
All I would, yes, that's what I want.
I would buy that. I'd buy that.
That'd be great. That'd be fun.
I mean, has anybody seen the Mega Blocks for Destiny? They're on the Amazon store. I think they're all sold out.
Yeah, they're sold out.
They do look
there.
Pretty cool. If you get the spider tank, you can get a Galahorn with it, too.
Oh.
Nice. Nice. Now I want to go buy that.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it every cool t-shirt's always sold out on Bungie?
It's probably the employees annoying. Who are like, yeah, so this is going up on Bungie, and they get a discount on the shirt, so they all buy it.
Is that what it is? Because I'm like, oh, that's cool. I want to buy that. Oh, they don't have a medium.
Oh, I'm on the Bungie store now, and I saw a picture of the Sleeper Simulator. I'm like, you can buy a Sleeper Simulator replica. Add to cart. Oh, it's just a poster.
Yeah. Yep.
At Fiery Hammer, I'm looking into a monitor that I can hook up to my PlayStation 4. I'm on a budget. Any suggestions?
My BenQ monitor was $170 out of Fry's Electronics.
Yeah, I'm going to highly suggest BenQ. The RL series in particular. They're 1080p.
They're good.
They look good.
They're
affordable. They have fast response times and refresh rates.
They do.
You can get a 24-inch for around $170. I think you could get it even cheaper than that if you wait for a sale. I would highly just... There's others. You know, Acer makes some. Republic of Gamers. You know, there's a bunch of them out there, but... Really, these BenQs are pretty damn good. Look on eBay, too, for used ones. No.
Yeah.
They're not big, though.
You said you're on a budget, but you didn't specify a number. So I'm just going to assume that you can spend $150 on, like, a Dell gaming monitor, a BenQ. I'm just on Amazon right now. Type in gaming monitor, search by price, and basically all these are good.
Yeah. Also, if you can't spend $100 or more on a monitor, then you're going to be sacrificing quality. So you just have to either wait it out or just be okay with the fact it's not going to look good and have good response time.
And there's a website, too, that actually goes out and rates them all refresh rate. And I can't find it right now. But look up that website. It basically... It's specifically for gamers and rates all monitors and TVs by refresh rate and how good they are for gaming. All right, next question. At Orkchop, which ability or ultimate from Overwatch would you like to see your guardian have in the Crucible?
Ugh. Yikes.
Let's see. I want to have Mercy. So I can just, like, res my teammates like, you idiots, get back up.
That would be very helpful in a lot of game modes.
Just like,
it's the wrong answer, though.
No, I see my whole team crowding around, like, the heavy, and then I'm just, like, holding back, and I see someone, like, running up to him, and it's like, I'm not going to be able to kill this guy because of reasons, and then they all die to a super, and it's like, could no one have shot fine?
I would be super okay with Widowmaker's wall hacks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The
Soldier 76 is all aimbot.
That's the right answer. Aimbot.
Aimbot.
Dafty?
I use it with Doctrine of Passing. Just spray everybody down.
There you go. I just got the dank bow. Not to be completely out of context here with this, but you said aimbot. I got the dank bow last night, and... It feels way more sticky than the LDR, even though the points are literally 4 points worth of aim assist on there. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this has built-in aimbot. That's why people are doming me so easily with the dank bow.
Doing hip fire.
No, not. I haven't done any hip fire with it. I was aiming down sights, but I was like, this is so sticky. Good Lord.
At Light287, the Gunsmith was fun soon after the Taken King launch until rank 5. For the next DLC, how can he be made relevant again?
It's all about Iron Banner. It's all about the Iron Lords. Something to do with Smith and Guns. I don't know. Maybe we can...
Smith and Guns.
I think if he had a larger inventory, so we didn't see the same stock repeat over and over again, it'd be more interesting week to week.
I'd like
this. Was the question about Iron Banner specifically?
Gunsmith.
Gunsmith.
Oh, my bad.
Maybe with a new expansion, maybe we could get a new foundry or something that would kind of make the gunsmith a little bit better.
Or just, like, expand on the current foundries. Like, that's one thing that everyone's been asking for. It's like, hey, like, Omalon has these, doesn't have any machine guns. Hawking doesn't have any machine guns, yada yada.
Mm-hmm. Just a bigger overall
inventory.
Don't get rid of the old stuff. Just expand to it so that there's just more stuff coming.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, the gunsmith is super boring now.
I don't want him to bring the same role for everybody. I thought that was dumb from the beginning, and this might be an unpopular opinion, and I'm okay with that. I think it should be a different role for every character. So it's like a surprise. So if you get the PDX-45, it's a different role for each character that you bought it on.
So it's not everyone getting that god roll PDX when it rolls around.
I like that idea.
I disagree, mainly because the gunsmith acts a lot like Xur did, or Xur still does. Mm-hmm. It's like anti-RNG.
Well, what if there are adept versions of the gunsmith weapons that he sells? So like he could have like a specialized version that has a bigger pool of perks.
Your chances of getting an adept version go up the higher you rank them up. Give you a reason to keep ranking them up every week.
Yes, absolutely.
I think, I think what they just need to add is just more stuff in the current foundries. Maybe add at least one new foundry so we can have like this new weapon type. I think that would be enough to kind of make it interesting for a little bit. They're going to have to keep expanding on it, though, otherwise.
Yeah. I like the basic premise.
Yeah. Yeah.
The loot pool definitely has to get bigger.
Yeah, do you think it's weird that the gunsmith never made any deals with Lord Saladin to get those weapons? You know?
I don't know, man.
Maybe he will in Rise of Iron.
That's deep.
But think about it. He's selling weapons. He's selling weapons. He has actual foundries that he services, or they service him, you know? And Lord Saladin's like, nah, man. You ain't selling my stuff.
Stuff is unique.
Well, maybe he will. Rise of Iron. Gunsmith now sells Iron Banner.
Lord Saladin just decides to give it away willy-nilly.
Yeah, just handing it out.
Yeah. At
Arringing... That's Tower Politics right there.
At Arringing Hat 638, would you guys like to see the scoring system from Challenge of Elders used in other modes like Story, Strike, Score Attack, stuff like that?
Nightfall? I think Nightfall would be
Nightfall would work well.
Yeah.
Just maybe not cumulative. I don't want to run it three times on the same character.
Yeah.
They actually could make a weekly cumulative thing, though.
As long as you like, can throw it off all the characters.
Yeah. Well, it's either account-based or character-based, but if they had like another package that you could earn, if it was how much PvE content you did, like let's say... You know, the raids count for a certain amount of points that you could earn, and then the Nightfall and Heroic Strikes, all the stuff. Dailies. Like, I never do dailies, but if there was a point system associated with it that could unlock a certain package at the end of the week.
That'd be cool. You know? Having a cumulative score through various activities in order to get something else would be pretty interesting, because then you do have multiple different ways to get that score, and you know that by getting the score, you're going to get something in return. You don't have to just keep doing the same Prison of Elders run all the time to get the cumulative score. So, that would be interesting. I think it would make people do PvE more often, because I just don't even go to PvE anymore.
Yeah.
Well, it's been exactly the same for 6 months. I don't think anybody's going anymore.
I still do it every now and then.
I was doing it all day. I'm lying. I was doing it all day.
I did Vault of Glass yesterday. I finally got no time to explain.
Xbox for the first time.
Oh, nice. Congratulations. I finally got my no time to explain. Check that off the list.
Nice. Along with
the Dark Drinker. Finally got those. Last thing on my list is the first curse, because I'm still rank 4.5 on my Hunter.
Oh, yeah. First Curse is an interesting weapon to attempt to use.
Mm-hmm. Do you not like it?
It equips very quickly. I like that. You can switch between your weapons really quickly. But it's just... Yeah.
Not
feeling
it.
There's better hand cannons.
It's like the opposite of what I love to use. I really enjoy the last word, so I'm sure I'm going to use the First Curse and be like, well, that was fun.
Yeah, you probably.
Gotta get it, though, right?
It can be fun to use every now and then, but it's...
Wait, did I hear that right, Tefta? You still haven't gotten the first curse yet?
Hell no, man. The gunsmith weapons are so boring to use. I was doing them yesterday in the Crucible, and it's like, it is pulling teeth. I had to use a 5-round hand cannon with butts range. In the Crucible,
I think I did it in Rumble.
Oh, you had to use a bad hand cannon. Oh wait, the test weapons. Yeah, never mind.
Test weapons, man. And then imprecation. I've heard of imprecation. I've seen the footage.
Okay,
I'm like,
imprecation,
why do I want to do
is
that?
Way better than it used to be.
Yeah,
okay,
that gun was way harder to use before.
Before they buffed that, that thing was, it was difficult. Okay, now it's a more slightly more consistent weapon. But like, come on, Tefty. Like you could have had that. I think it's like week 5 or something.
I know
of the game.
I know
week 5. That's
listen.
And you, like, you actually didn't have to run any Crucible test weapons. You could have done it all in PvE.
I know, but then I got to go shoot a Minotaur. Here's the problem.
Wow.
What I want.
No, I
this
understand
is what I want.
Hefty completely.
Right?
On this one.
You get me on this. Okay, I'm glad.
I totally do.
Here's the problem. It's the way the quests are designed. It's like it's collecting crystal relics in Mars until like I'm old and decrepit. No thanks.
You know,
that's
we were
boring.
Talking about this a little bit before the podcast, Hefty, is how some of the quests were designed for the Taken King are a little on the boring side. We were talking about the how you had to farm war sats, like specific events to get the...
Yeah.
To get what gun was that? I don't remember what simulator. The quest was for. What was it for?
It's for sleeper.
I still don't have sleeper simulant.
Yeah, you had to farm... Yeah, there you go.
There it is.
You had to farm...
Because it's boring.
You guys call yourselves YouTubers?
You got to farm the materials to get the swords. Like, there's some really just boring-ass quest lines. Overall, I like the way they changed to quest line exotics. Like, I think it's a much better way to do it than they were doing in year one. But, man, yes. Some of those quests suck.
They
like,
do.
It feels like,
those,
it's like...
You know, the worst thing is that I've done the mission where I have the box and I have to input the code.
Yeah.
And I know the code, but I'm just... I haven't input the code.
Wow.
That's great.
It requires me to go into my inventory and, like, press it and, like, look up the code. That's too much.
I forgot about
I have another confession. I got another confession for you, Pat.
Do I want to hear this one? Am I
probably not.
I do.
It's confession. Confession day.
Last week, confession. I finally got the Tlaloc.
I still don't
Oh, yeah. I just got that like a month ago.
It was last week for me because I was looking at my exotic my blueprints and I was like, you know what? I better get rid of these, you know, nondescript engrams chilling in there. And that's why I was like, okay, it's time to finally get the first curse.
Oh, my
God. Yeah, I don't. My warlock's gunsmith rank is like 2 or something.
See? That's how it was. I was like, all right, time to change this.
We're sitting here. You guys are sitting here complaining about a lack of content, and you haven't even done all the content yet.
I'm perfectly happy in the Crucible.
you hypocrites,
Pat,
all of you.
Again, do I want to go and shoot that Minotaur and then like have
to
respawn?
Do I
want to
sit on Earth waiting for a Warsats to spawn in?
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. No. I will go play Rift.
Yes.
That's what I'll do.
I was that way in World of Warcraft. There was a legendary quest line that took, I think, 5 months to fully complete, and I never actually completed it. I got to like 4.5 months and then stopped.
This is actually the reason that I stopped playing World of Warcraft in like 3 days, because it was like the 6 quests where I had to go kill like 18 pigs. I was like, fuck this.
Well, no, you had to go kill 18 pigs and get like 18 pig tongues, but for some reason, not every pig had a tongue.
Right. Yeah, it was just like arbitrarily stupid collectathons. I'm like, this game, I don't understand why this game's so popular. Fuck this, I'm going to go play something fun.
Yeah, I'm going to go collect relic crystals on Mars.
Yeah. Maybe this war sat will spawn in the next 18 hours or so.
No, my God.
That's why you play World of Warcraft while you wait for the war sats to spawn in. God.
Whoa, double duty? Double duty RNGs? Wow. Yeah. That's hardcore.
I suppose we should look at the next question, but I lost my place. At Ellinson Gavin, where do you see the future of Destiny PvP heading?
New game modes. Mm-hmm. Factions and stuff.
Actual netcode that works.
That happening?
Custom matches.
No, I don't. I don't see it happening.
No, in your heart of hearts.
They could keep the same like mechanics and everything right now. And the only thing that I really, really, really want is to just have more consistency in terms of lag, matchmaking.
Say it. Come on.
Netcode.
There it is. You know it.
You know, just... It's amazing how the only consistent experience that I get in Destiny PvP is that on matches 7, 8, and 9, I would play people in Spain. All three, and it's like all Night Stalkers, all Sunsinger. Patrick. That's the consistency. Yeah.
It's always Spain.
Yeah, it's always.
There must be
bad.
A reason for that. It's always Spain. We have that to deal with tomorrow.
Can we just play Overwatch, please?
Can we play not Lighthouse and Overwatch? Blue?
Yeah, it's called getting a play of the game as Zenyatta. That's the Lighthouse in Overwatch.
Yeah. They need to fix it. Also, you know, Overwatch, you can play with people across the world and have great experiences.
Yeah.
True.
Yep. Because, you know, there was some serious science and engineering that went in to fix some of that crap. So, not to belittle the efforts of Bungie, because I know I sound... Every time I talk about it, I definitely sound elitist in that sense. Like, I actually know how to write netcode, and I don't. So, I completely get that. But I have played things that are working correctly. So, I know it exists. Maybe I just sounded even more elitist. I don't know.
NathDog95, how many PS exotics do you think PlayStation will get at Destiny E3 reveal?
7.
Let's face it, it's going to happen.
It depends entirely upon like the size of the content that's coming. I think like in the April update we got one.
Right. How many we get with Taken King? One Jade Rabbit.
We got Jade Rabbit.
Is there another one?
Oh, no, it's just Jade Rabbit. And then I'm gonna say like one, and then maybe like an exclusive strike or something. Depending on the content.
Yeah,
maybe an exclusive PvP map as well.
Also, a Mountain Dew quest.
Are we on Mountain Dew now? Like
Red Bull.
Mm-hmm. Red Bull pulled out.
And Red Bull's out of there.
There's going to be a sparrow shaped like a Dorito that you can only get if you complete
quest. It's bugle. It'll be shaped like a bugle.
It's going to have nacho cheese coming out of the engine.
Could work.
No, I'm pretty sure they...
I like the Mountain Dew quest, and at the end of it, you get the exotic fatty liver. You have an exotic fatty liver now. Wow, amazing. Sorry, maybe that was a bad joke.
Maybe your guardian won't be moving on to Destiny 2.
I don't get that one. I don't get that joke, but...
Right. Oh, my God.
Glad you guys are having fun.
Me too. Pekka Momo, thoughts on skill-based matchmaking in heroic strikes? Hate it in the Crucible, but hate doing strikes with 300 305s when I'm 335. How about instead of skill-based matchmaking, we get intelligence-based matchmaking? You have to do an IQ test. All people with similar IQs
that for years.
Get matched up together. I don't know why that Guardian is running into that mob of Minotaurs with a sword, but it ain't going to go well.
He's becoming legend, Briar. Becoming legend.
At DodgerBlue555, what would you guys think of a 2 exotic limit as opposed to the 1 weapon, 1 armor limit we have now? So instead of having 1 gun, 1 exotic gun, and 1 armor, you could have 2 exotic weapons or 2 pieces of exotic armor.
I'd really not like to see warlocks spawning in every single round of Trials of Osiris with 2 grenades.
Right?
I really, really don't want to see that.
Or truth and last word.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm going to say the decision for exotics to only have one armor and one... Yeah, let's just keep that at that, please.
It's
or like
a good
last
thing.
Word invective, you know, unless
feels bad,
unless somehow they could code it into the game for mayhem to be able to like just say fuck it, anything goes with the armor. Then hell yes, like I want mayhem to be even more mayhem. I want like just, whatever you want to equip, do it. Put on all the exotics. I don't care.
Wouldn't it be awesome to have a mayhem mode that was all suit like your super's on constantly. And you have, like, 5,000% health. So it's like,
so it takes
super
like
battles?
Multiple Fist of Havocs to kill somebody?
Yes. That'd be amazing.
That would be hilarious.
You get a team combo, a guy to kill him with Fist of Havocs.
That'd be kind of fun.
I'll lighten him up with my golden gun. You come in and finish him off with it's like fighting bosses. Damn. Every time you run into somebody. That'd actually be a cool game mode if you had like one versus three and the one had like mega health and the other three had
that would be cool.
Had to like figure out how to like, you know, you could use like a tether to slow him down and
oh, that'd be lit.
Everything's a crit. That'd be fun.
That'd be fun. Mm-hmm.
That would like a juggernaut mode? Hell
yeah. That'd be super fun.
That'd be cool.
Yep. I want that.
Custom games.
I want that in Destiny too.
Custom games.
That would
games.
Be a fun custom game.
Juggernaut. Yeah. Or Rise of Iron. We have to take down Saladin.
Right?
He's the juggernaut.
There you go.
At Jeetzy, could Jesus microwave a burrito so hot he himself could not eat it?
Okay, Homer.
Is that a Homer question?
That's a Homer Simpson question. Yes.
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 Yeah.
Yes.
Would he taste it? It's super hot. Is the flavor still going to be there when it's super, super hot?
So he can, using magic powers, he can heat that burrito up, but then those same magic powers,
face magic.
He couldn't make himself eat it?
Let's be honest. He's a sun singer, all right?
He's a sun singer. He did self-res.
Face magic. He could self-res. Easter. He's all about Easter. So,
is the walls of Jericho? That was a fireball grenade with Viking funeral.
Exactly. Easy mode.
Little known fact. Bible studies. Check them out. At Sigo Joe, with Rise of Iron in year 3 on the horizon, what was your favorite The Taken King year 2 memory or moment? I got mine ready because I read this already. Mine's still our first raid together as a podcast team in Tefty's motivational speech, getting through it, finally beating Crota, like on our... You know, on our live stream, that was a fucking awesome moment from Taken King.
That's pretty much it for me, too. Like, finally beating orcs and seeing the loot, and it was a 12-hour stream. And
12 hours of trying, banging our head against the wall.
It was a pretty epic feeling. Yeah. Wow.
It was pretty fun.
That's true. Yeah, doing the raid for the first time was definitely good. I think another one for me was just seeing the cutscene with the queen and oryx. And, like, having that, because we didn't have many cutscenes before The Taken King. So having those cutscenes with the epic music and seeing all of this epic story happening was really awesome. Because when Bungie does stuff with their music and all of that, it feels good.
Mm-hmm.
So when I saw that for the first time, I was like, oh, Oryx is awesome. And it was, yeah, the cutscene was awesome.
The new subclass storylines were really good, too.
They were really good.
Oh, getting dynamite with a laser beam. I nearly shit my pants when I did that in Crucible.
Feels good. Feels good. The getting the dynamite with the laser beam, that is.
Not shitting your pants. At Notice Me Briar, what was your guy's favorite meta? He gives examples. Last Word, Thorn. What was your favorite meta?
Definitely
all time?
Not the Thorn part.
No.
Definitely not that. I kind of liked when the messenger was super good. But that's when
that's,
Thorn
that's the
awesome.
Thorn part.
Yeah. I miss the messenger being awesome, but I think, I don't know. That's kind of difficult, actually. Because the Thorn whole thing lasted for quite a while.
I'm going to say the Pulse Rifle meta.
Like the one right after The Taken King was released?
Right after The Taken King.
Yeah. Nah, it's just the pulse rifle meta. Just leave it at that.
I can agree with that. No doctrines.
Pretty much.
I prefer to be like a pulse rifle battle over a doctrine battle. Pulse rifles, you at least have to aim somewhat.
Pulse rifle meta was definitely a lot of fun, but honestly, the way it is right now, this meta as it feels, even though doctrines are really annoying and soon to be soul stealers when they start getting around more, I don't know. It's a good meta right now. You can use hand cannons. You can use scout rifles. You can use pulse rifles. It's good right now.
The beta was a really good meta.
I didn't.
When everyone went for that like first auto rifle
from the gunsmith. Yep.
Yep. That was the best.
The vanilla Destiny was a fun meta with the overpowered fusion rifles. Like, I loved having the fusion rifles be super powerful. It was just a fun way to play Destiny.
The vanilla Destiny was completely balanced for the first few months as long as you were using an auto rifle.
Until the Vex started getting out there, until people started completing the raid, and Vex was, like, completely overpowered. You remember the one-week meta between Update 2.0 and the Taken King release where we had all the weapon buffs of Update 2.0, but we didn't have any new weapons. We were still using all the year one weapons. That was a fun meta. Nobody knew what the fuck was going on, and it was gone.
We had new maps. We had new maps, and we had Rift. Yeah. Wasn't Rift available?
The two game modes that came in, Rift and Mayhem. They made Rift and Mayhem available for that 1 week.
Fun week to be playing Crucible because it was like we had new content before the new content hit. Yeah, the 1 week meta was a good one.
Thank you for tuning in to the 73rd Planet Destiny podcast. June 9th is the theme of
June 9th is going to be the day.
June 9th.
It's a week from today.
Good. Yeah, a week from today. So I hope that
next week.
I hope that their stream doesn't start before. Did they say what time it's going to start?
It's
10 a.m.
Okay. Fantastic. Plenty of time for me to
I'm not going to be awake. Remember?
Oh, my God.
I'll be sleeping.
Tefty,
I'll be dreaming.
Tefty, you better watch
could you
that.
Do me a favor.
Between now and then, we have to dox Tefty so we know where we can go to wake him up.
I'll see you all next week. This is 73rd Planet Destiny podcast. If you want to find me, Holtzman_PD on Twitter. And I'm on Twitch, just Holtzman. And also, I do videos occasionally for Planet Destiny on the YouTube.
And loot box openings.
I do so many loot box openings, but they're not Destiny related, so we're not going to talk about it.
They're Sterling Treasure openings. There's,
We've got really boxes of all sorts.
Yeah.
I'm Briar Rabbit. You can find me at the Briar Rabbit on Twitter. You can find me streaming on my own channel. Just look up Briar Rabbit on Twitch or streaming here on the Planet Destiny channel. Or look up the Briar Rabbit channel on YouTube and look for trailers from The Taken King or loot box openings.
Yeah. you can talk to me at Teft on Twitter, TEFT. You can also catch the streams I do for Planet Destiny on Twitch and also my personal channel, twitch.tv/TeftyTeft. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can find me on Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch with Miss 5000 Watts. I have not done a loot box opening video, unfortunately. I did record me opening 50 loot boxes, but it wasn't live. So
You didn't post it?
Yeah, you got 50 days worth of content just sitting there.
I didn't post it. I was going to do my best loot that I got out of the boxes.
You call yourself.
And you haven't got the Tlaloc yet? Oh my God. No. This is unbelievable.
It doesn't matter if it's good content or not. It's content. You just record it, you put it up, and then.
These are the principles that Planet Destiny was founded on.
I remember that one time we did a loot opening video. Let's not do that ever again. We'll see you next time on the Planet Destiny podcast, June 9th, everyone. Well, hopefully we got stuff to talk about then. We'll see you later, guys. Bye-bye.